At this time, the children are dismissed for Children's Bible Hour. So you can go if you're participating in Children's Bible Hour, you're a kid that needs to go. You should be dismissed at this time. All right. Good morning. Good morning. This morning I want to talk about things that we should watch for. It's interesting. This is 2024, and I remember the first time I preached this sermon, it was in 1990. I was 16, and of course, I've added more to the thought process about things to watch for, because there's been so many things that I've been watching over the years, but it's a joy to be able to talk about things to watch for, things that we should watch for as Christians. We talk about watching things. We watch television, who's watching the game, or something of that nature. And of course, I'm tired of hearing people talking about watch your weight. I've been watching my weight go up for a long time. So some people that don't know me, they don't know that I used to be nice and slim. And now I'm over 300 pounds now. So I've watched myself gain weight, but I've also watched myself grow spiritually. I've watched many different things transpire over the years. I've watched churches struggle with growth. I've watched churches grow. I've watched people become Christians. I've watched people pass away. I've watched a lot of different things over the many years that I've been on this earth. And this morning, I want us to look at things that we should be watching for as Christians. And I want to use the word watch. And so this morning we want to begin by starting off where George read earlier in John chapter 4, verse 23 through 24. And start off with where Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. He was having a discussion with her about worship. And I believe that we as Christians today need to watch our worship. And so let's look over at John chapter 4, beginning at verse 23 and looking at verse 24, and then we'll continue on. But we're going to use the word watch this morning. So here in John chapter 4, looking at verses 23 through 24, here Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. But let's go up just a little bit further in verse 22. He says, "You worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth." That is amazing that Jesus was talking to a woman in Samaria. He wasn't in the area that Jews usually would go. Usually this is a place that most Jewish people would avoid where this woman was at. But, of course, Jesus being who he is, being the creator of the world, Jesus loved this woman just as much as he loved anybody else on the earth. Amen. And so Jesus found himself or put himself in a position where he could have a conversation with a woman at the well. And many people speculate about why this woman was coming to the well at this particular time, but Jesus knew the time that she was going to be there, and he had this conversation with her about worship. And the thing that we usually pick from this particular section of scripture here in John chapter 4 is that we need to worship God in a specified way that God wants us to worship him. And so we need to examine the way that we are worshiping God. We need to ensure that our worship is in accordance to his will. This morning, I'm not going to lay out all the things that God expects us to do in worship. The only thing I want to do today is to encourage you to watch your worship. Pay attention to the way that you're worshiping God. Is the way that you are worshiping in accordance to the will of God? because God is looking for such worshipers. I like the way Jesus says that in verse 23. He says, "But an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth." He's looking for a type of worshiper. It says, "For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers." Those that are going to worship him the way he wants them to worship. Not the way that you think you should worship, but God is looking for people that are going to worship him how? In spirit and in truth, amen? And so we are, if we're going to be watching our worship, we need to make sure that we look into the word of God and find out exactly how does God want me to worship him? Because it makes absolutely no sense to worship God the way we want to worship him. Because then we're not worshiping who? God. When we think about the word worship, the word worship means to kiss toward. It means to give respect to look towards. And so if we're going to worship God, we need to worship God with reverence, with respect. Amen? And the only way that we can do that is by following what the Bible teaches us, how we should worship God, amen? We shouldn't try to adjust our worship to please visitors, to please people around us, but the object of our focus in worshiping God should be to worship who? God should be the one that we are worshiping, and so we need to watch our worship. The second word that we find in the word watch is our aims. If we turn over to Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, let's turn our Bibles there if you will. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13. Philippians 3, 13. We're looking at our aims. That's the second letter in the word watch. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Here the Apostle Paul writing to those in Philippi, he says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead." Verse 14, he says, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Amen. We need to watch our aims. What are we aiming for? Aren't we aiming for heaven? You guys are quiet this morning. Are we aiming for heaven? Are you guys really excited about it? Like, yeah, I'm aiming for heaven, you know. It kind of reminds me of the one vulture. Doo-doop, doo-doop, doo-doop. Are we really aiming for heaven?
Yes.
All right. I know you guys can shout louder than that when you are, you know, your favorite team is winning or whatever's going good for you. I know all of you guys got a voice. How loud are you at home? Our aim should be heaven. Amen. Our aim should be heaven. And so what are we aiming for? And we need to watch our aims because the place where we're aiming towards, that's where we go. When I was learning how to drive fast, they actually teach you how to drive fast in the highway patrol. When I was learning to drive fast, they said, you usually drive towards the place your eyes are. So if you want to drive fast down the highway, keep your eyes on the highway, not on your phone, not looking to the right or to the left, but looking straight down the road. Amen? And so our eyes need to be towards heaven. And the Hebrew writer tells us our eyes need to be focused on who? On God, on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen? So our aims is something that we need to watch. We need to pay attention to. And so we need to watch our worship, and we need to watch our what? Our aims. What are we aiming towards? What are we looking towards in our lives? We need to watch our worship and our aims. Amen. The other thing we need to use that A there for is our actions. We need to watch our actions. Look at James chapter 2, verse 18. James 2:18. James chapter 2, verse 18. We need to watch our actions. In James chapter 2, verse 18, he says, "But someone may well say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my what?'" By my works, by my actions. As Christians, we shouldn't just be people that are talking all the time, saying this, that, and the other. But when it's time to perform for Christ, we need to show up and show out. Amen? Are you following me this morning? We need not be people that just go around talking about how we love one another. We need to show love for one another. Amen? When we hear messages about someone being in the hospital, I know people have already been planning on going to check out and see what was going on. Amen? Because we're about action, aren't we? We're not just about people that just talk a good talk. We're walking a good walk. Amen? We want to do the actions that are necessary. It is important that we as children of God, we watch our actions. We watch our actions. Let's go back in James chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. Let's turn our Bibles over there. James 2:14. He says, "What use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith but has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and be filled,' and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is it?" Amen? That doesn't make any sense, does it? If somebody needs something, if Mike needs a coat, I'm going to get Mike a coat. That's action, isn't it? But if I just say, "Mike, you know, go on down there to the warehouse down there," and Mike's out of money, hey, what is Mike going to do? He's not going to have a coat. Maybe I'll even take my coat off and give it to Mike. That's action, isn't it? Isn't that action? You guys are quiet this morning. That's all right. But I hope you're getting the message this morning that we need to watch our worship, we need to watch our aims, and we need to watch our actions. Now to the T in the word watch. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, looking at verses 15 and 16. We want to talk about our time, watching our time. Preachers always got to watch their time. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Ephesians 5, 15. We're also going to look at verse 16. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Here the Apostle Paul says here in Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 15, he says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your what?" Making the most of your what? Making the most of your time, because the days are evil. And we all know that the days are evil. They're challenging. Are they not? Who has a schedule for today? Anybody got a schedule written down? Some people got schedules. You got it. It's potluck. It's potluck. It's time to eat. Everybody had that on their schedule. Amen. But as Christians, we need to watch our time. We need to pay attention to our time. Whether you're a Christian or not, the thing about time is you are running out of it. Amen. You're running out of time. I wish I had the PowerPoint. I wanted to put up there the time I was looking at the clock out there in the foyer. It was just moving. And some of you that are on Facebook, you saw me singing that song. I was singing some song. But it was like the clock was just ticking and it was just moving. I don't know what was wrong with that clock, if it's possessed or what. But it's at 12 right now. But what it reminded me of when I was coming out of my office and I saw it, I was like, you know, Solomon, you're running out of time. You're running out of time. You know, the last time, or not the last time I preached this sermon, but I remember I was 16 when I preached this the first time. And now I'm 49. 16 and 49. Y'all do the math over here. Some of you guys are 16. Who's 16 over here? Who's 13? 12? 10? 18? You're going to be here one day. We're running out of time. Amen? We're running out of time. We're getting closer and closer to eternity. I can remember the time when they were talking about the preacher living a long life and all of these different things, and they've already lived their long life. We've already had their funeral, and I've got the brochure to show their picture on it. Amen? And the preacher that I first had was Doris Pitts. I remember that. You remember Brother Pitts. Many of you in here remember Brother Doris Pitts. I thought that guy was going to live forever, all the energy that he had. But his time ran out. And so will all of our time run out. And so we need to watch our time. We're getting closer and closer to eternity. So we need to watch our time. Amen? We need to watch our time. We need to schedule, plan, decide what we're going to do with our time. Because it doesn't matter how rich you are, the greatest commodity and the greatest commodity a person has is their time, because you can't buy it back. You can't buy it back. Oh, how I wish I was 16 now. Amen. I wish I was running like I was 16. Amen. Remember that, Victor? A long time ago. 16 was a long time ago. We use that word time all the time. I'm running out of time. What time do we need to be there? Are we going to be on time? You guys know how it is to deal with time. We're always spending time watching our time. Isn't that right? We spend time watching our time, planning our time. But we need to watch our time. Because the one thing I like to say when I'm at a funeral is, my time is coming. I'm getting closer. Every funeral I do, I'm getting closer to that being my funeral. If they throw me one, it doesn't matter to me. I'll be gone. Amen. But my time will be up. And so all of our time will be up one day. And so we've got to watch our time. Also, look over at James chapter 3, verse 2. This is something that most people don't like to talk about. James chapter 3, verse 2. Because we all have a tongue. Amen. Everybody got a tongue out there? Are you watching your tongue? Are you paying attention to what you say with your tongue? Because I think sometimes people don't understand how powerful their tongues are. Do you know how powerful your tongue is? Everybody's tongue is very powerful. How did God create the world? He spoke it into existence. We have been created in the image of who? Don't you think our tongues got some power? You've seen how powerful your tongue has been. Amen? Sometimes you wish you could take back some of the things that your tongue has said. Amen? And so we need to watch our tongue. What does James say in James chapter 3, verse 2? He says, "For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well." Amen. Anybody know how to control their tongue? Sometimes some people say, "I bite my tongue." I don't want to do that. But sometimes you just got to keep your mouth shut. Sometimes you need to just walk away. Amen. Because your tongue is so powerful. Amen. I don't care if you're a child. I don't care if you're a teenager, you're an adult, or you're an ultra adult, if you want to say. You're elderly. It doesn't matter. Your tongue is very, very powerful, and you need to watch what you say. Amen. Because once it's out, you can't get it back. Anybody try to bring it back in? It cannot come back. Amen. And so it's better sometimes not said. You should just leave it alone. But sometimes when you're upset or sometimes you're just lallygagging and hanging out, you might say something that can get you in a lot of trouble, amen? Sometimes you lose friends. Sometimes you destroy relationships with your tongue. And see, for me, that's why I'm always asking people to pray for me, because I'm a preacher. And I always stand before people. People hear my recordings all over the United States. And so people will call me sometimes, Solomon, you said this? It's kind of intimidating, but that's why I like to have my little script up here. But even sometimes then, I can make a mistake here and there, amen? And so we need to watch our tongues. We need to watch what we say to people. Sometimes we say, oh, I got a good idea for you, and I need to tell you this. Maybe you need to think about it again. I remember years ago I gave the acronym THINK when I was talking about the tongue. And this thought that goes with the word THINK is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? And I think the whole purpose of thinking about that or using that word THINK is just to slow you down to be able to probably give you a chance to say, maybe I shouldn't say these words. You know, I also like to say sometimes that when it comes to temptation, sometimes this is the best time to procrastinate. Did y'all get that? Did y'all catch that? I mean, when the temptation is coming, that's the best time to procrastinate. You know, tell the devil, I don't have time for that right now. Let's talk about it later. That's the time to procrastinate, young people. When the devil's trying to tempt you, that's the time to procrastinate. When you want to say something, procrastinate on it. Don't talk to somebody else about it, because then you'll be using your tongue. Procrastinate about it. But if you got to talk to anybody, talk to God. Amen. God can handle it all. God's not going to leave you. Amen? God is dependable. People only have so much of a capacity to tolerate you. Has anybody told you that? People don't have the capacity that you think they might have. And so you got to watch your tongue. Seriously, you got to watch your tongue. You got to watch the things that you say to people. You have to watch your tongue. So you need to watch your worship, you need to watch your aims and actions, you need to watch your time and tongue. But next you need to watch your company, young people. 1 Corinthians 15:33. You got to watch the people that you hang out with. You got to watch the folks that you hang out with. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Here the apostle says, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Some people think it says, good morals or good company change bad morals. Are y'all following me? It doesn't work that way. If you've got a white t-shirt on and your friends got mud all over them, what's going to happen when you hug them? Is the white going to get on them or is the mud going to get on you? Y'all following? Bad communication corrupts good morals. We've got to watch our company. Watch the company that you keep. You got to pay attention to it. What is it saying? Birds are the same, what? All right. Birds of the same feather flock together. Is that right? That's the way it works. And there's a whole thing about how the birds fly through the air and how it helps them with their flight and all of those different things. But the fact of the matter is we've got to watch our company. Who are you spending time with? How are they having an effect on your relationship with God? Is it positive or is it negative? Amen? We've got to be careful with the people that we hang out with, that we spend time with. Sometimes we got to break away. Amen? Jesus was known for breaking away from the people. Amen? And he'd even get away from his disciples. Sometimes you need to get away from your company and be reminded of who you are and who you belong to. We are Christians. We belong to Christ. We've been bought with a price, and we don't belong to ourselves anymore. So we've got to ask ourselves a question, who would Jesus hang out with? Amen? We can't get away from the world, but sometimes we need to break away from the world, amen? Sometimes we need to break away from those bad influences that we have at our jobs, because we can't get away from our job, amen? Our job is our job, and that's where we work. But sometimes we've got to get away from those people. When we're on break, go find a place to take a break. Amen? When it's lunchtime, get away from the people that are negative influences on you. Amen? Because the devil's always pulling on us. Amen? He's always trying to work us and bring us in the wrong direction. And so we've got to watch our company, the people that we hang out with. Finally, we need to watch our home. Amen? We all need to watch our home. The home has been under attack ever since the beginning of the home. Amen? The devil was trying to destroy the home in the Garden of Eden. Is that right? Just as soon as Adam and Eve got together, I don't know if Eve was fully formed and everything before the devil was right in that home trying to destroy it. The devil's been after the home. And we look at America today, we see that the home is in trouble. The home is in trouble. The home has been in trouble since the home started. Because the devil was able to cause Mother Eve, that's our mother, she's the mother of all. Eve is all of our mothers. That's what the Bible says. All of our mother. Adam was the first father. Amen? The father and mother. And their first kids, Cain and Abel. I'm about to say Cain and Abel. But you think about the home. You think about your home. You got to watch your home. What are your kids watching? But more than that, what are you watching? What are you dealing with? When you're thinking about the company that you're keeping, know that the company that you're keeping when you're outside of the home has an effect when you come into the home. Do you follow? If you're going out here in the world and you're getting mud all over you, you come home with all of that residue. Amen? And now it starts to affect your home. And so that's why it's so important that we watch our home, watch our behavior, watch our tongue, watch our worship, watch our aims and actions. It's so important because it has an effect on our home. The home is the foundation of a society. The home has an effect on the church. If we don't take care of our home, our country, our society, our churches are all going to fall. And so it's so important that we focus on our home. We watch our home. Amen. I pray that this sermon has stirred you up as much as it stirred me up. Amen. But we need to watch. Watch. If you have a need this morning, you need to obey the gospel, or you need prayers helping you about watching different things in your life, why don't you come forward now as together we stand and sing the song that has been selected.